It's time for Cover 2 with Joe Bianchino and Pierce Fricks.
So the fact that you said that my point is valid means I win?
No, you're a foolish idiot.
And now, here's Joe Bianchino and Pierce Fricks.
Again, Raul Abanez. Raul, be seeing you in the right field seats. Raul, so cool. He drills a home run over the auxiliary scoreboard into the seats. And the Yankees, two outs away from a loss, have tied the game at two. Mattis deals, swung on, and driven a deep right. It is high, it is far, it is gone. He's done it again. Raul Abanez has put on one of the great playoff displays of hitting. He drills one in the right field seats to win the game. Raul, so cool. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
It's a Cover 2 podcast. How about Cocoa Crisp last night? This is Bricks. I'm here with Joe B.
We're going to go Cocoa Crisp.
Cocoa
That's
Crisp.
That's what's hot.
One of the greatest playoff performances. I can't even think of another great playoff performance. None comes to mind aside from that Cocoa Crisp single in the ninth inning.
Oh, yeah. No, highly dramatic. And I can't be topped by anything in recent memory.
Nope.
Not even an hour and a half before.
How about that? All right, let's be real. We're in Yankee Nation. It is Cover 2. I'm Pierce Bricks. That's Joe Bianchino.
The future of radio, Cover 2.
The damn Skippy. Raul Abanez.
What's it say in the sheet?
As you know, I'm kind of the Jay-Z of sports talk radio. I don't write my rhymes. Joe B always comes in with the layout, and Joe B's layout literally says, segment one, arrow, Yankees O's, sub-arrow, Abanez, sub-sub-arrow. Damn.
That's all you can say. What a performance last night. I mean, I know Abanez has been clutch before, big home run against the Red Sox a couple weeks ago, but damn. I know as a radio host I should be more articulate. But,
it wasn't even...
But right now, after the fact, all I got is damn.
It wasn't even the Abanez two homers. Listen, the Yankees have been great. They'll be great. That wasn't on a scale from 1 to Aaron Boone. That was like a 6, okay? Given the magnitude of the game and the series and the fact that it wasn't against the Red Sox.
Right.
But it was more than the Abanez. It was the fact that Abanez was pinch hitting for A-Rod.
A-Rod.
And then the fact that he did it twice. I mean, it was...
Twice.
It was poetic in...
It was perfect.
And it's irony. I don't know if irony is
perfect.
The right word.
It was symmetrical, and it was just so perfectly juicy of his. I mean, you just, that was Buster Olney's wet dream last
you
night.
Couldn't,
that they just served up. Like, please, write this column without me having to do anything.
You couldn't make it up. The only thing, if it was Game 7 of the World Series, that's the only way that that could be a more absurdly perfect hodgepodge of media theatrics.
Right.
I mean,
right. You bring up two interesting points. The first one, or the larger one, A-Rod. We'll get to that in a minute. But the first thing you brought up that really kind of stuck with me last night is this is just another moment in New York Yankee Stadium October.
Right.
Magic.
Oh,
like it's just like every other franchise. Like, this is the high point. This is the high water mark of their existence. For the Yankees, it's like, I don't know, it's like 12. It was good.
Yeah, oh, listen.
It was
great. If that would have happened, if that would have been, you know, Scott Harrison coming off the bench.
Right.
Pinch hitting for Ike Davis. And see, you can't even do it.
You can't even make it up with any other team, right?
You can't even say the names of like guys on the Mets and have it ring in the same way. I mean, you're talking Alex Rodriguez, who just looks awful. It's not even that he's 1-for-12 at the time. He's the ugliest 1-for-12 you've ever seen. He's check swing striking out. Anything low outside,
you know,
he's gonna flail at
This is a theme that's developing for me, where I jump on the back of one guy or a group of people and I go against public opinion and then it all falls apart for me. I was totally with the replacement refs, and then we all know what happened Monday night. I was on Alex Rodriguez's bandwagon. I'm saying, and I'm still saying, bat the guy third. Don't move him down in the lineup. Don't take him out of the lineup. Bat him third. He'll figure it out. He's still air out. And then he goes out and goes 0-for-3 with two strikeouts and then gets pinch hit for, and Abanez does it. It was perfect. And how do these things keep happening to A-Rod? Like, how do things like just go this dramatically bad for Alex Rodriguez?
He must have been a huge ass in a previous life. I take that back because listen, the guy's worth $500 million. He's got more beautiful women than I can ever dream of. So he wasn't that, but it's amazing how it just this.
It seems
karma
like
karma of.
They
crazy.
Conspire. Things conspire against Alex Rodriguez sometimes.
It's amazing.
And look, to his credit.
Amazing theater.
To his credit, he goes out last night. He's the first guy to greet. He's on the top step. He's genuinely excited. He's the first guy to greet Abanez after he hits the first home run. He says everything right. Let's play.
His postgame.
Joe and I had a discussion, and, you know, we've preached all year. I mean, it's about 25 guys. It's about... whatever it takes to win. You know, I got to be honest, I don't know how I would have reacted to that 10 years ago. But I said, and I know you guys don't like to hear it, you know, I've matured a lot over the last few years. And there was no one happier than me, and it was just an awesome moment and a big game for us.
Is this one something that possibly could strain a relationship with a manager?
No. I love Joe, and again, I'm one of the leaders of this team. And again, maybe 10 years ago, I react in a much different way. But I'm in a place in my career right now where team is everything, and... I don't think there was anybody in the ballpark more excited for Raul than me.
You know, normally we would play a game we've played before called, you know, what they really want to say or some variation of that. We haven't really named it. But honestly, I think that's exactly what he meant. I mean, I think he meant every word of that.
I think he's
right on, more mature Alex Rodriguez. I wholeheartedly believe everything he just said.
And there's A-Rod Hater Nation, and I hate A-Rod Hater Nation. I think it's obnoxious and way overblown for a guy with the type of skill and the amount of MVPs and great moments he's delivered for the Yankees. There's such a contingent of Yankee fans that still want to hate him. And you hear, he knew that the cameras were on him. He was only on the stair because the camera. Listen, he's Alex Rodriguez. The camera is always going to be on him. And he's had that happen for 15 to 20 years now. He knows it's going to be there. You know it's going to be that. That doesn't mean that his reaction isn't genuine.
Right. Let a brother sunbathe in Central Park. Right? That's the point.
That's another overblown thing.
Let a man take a shirt off and get a tan.
You know, I hear people, he was on the front step because people knew that the cameras were... Listen, the cameras are going to be on him. He knows it.
Right.
And does that play in that he should probably said to himself in the back of his mind, I really shouldn't sulk here or people are going to go crazy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he was on the exact opposite of sulking. He was the first guy out. He was screaming like a giddy little girl.
Right. You see the clip of he and Mo Rivera standing there trying to high-five each other and missing. Because they're not uncoordinated dudes. They were caught up in the moment.
Oh,
right?
Dude, they were high-fiving like the first time you made out with a chick and you're telling your friend, like, they couldn't contain themselves.
One went
themselves.
Up for the two-handed high-five. The other one's like, you want a fist bump?
Yeah.
Hey!
Let's just go crazy.
Abanez is here now.
And then after the game, I thought the most candid remark I think A-Rod may have ever made was when he said, you know, 10 years ago, I probably would be upset about this.
Right.
10 years ago, my ego would have gotten in the way. And first of all, despite all of his postseason problems, if you benching a 28-year-old Alex Rodriguez in the ninth inning, you should be fired.
Yeah,
but
got
a
issues.
38-year-old Alex Rodriguez, I think he understood, listen, I'm struggling. The team needs a big moment here. I can't deliver it, or I don't think A-Rod's saying I can't deliver it. I think A-Rod's probably thinking I wasn't in a great position to deliver it. Raul came in, he did deliver it. End of the day, it was
a net win. What a great move by Girardi. You know, the numbers say that it's kind of a no-brainer, but you're sitting down Alex Rodriguez. I mean, that's it. You're sitting down Alex Rodriguez in the ninth inning of a playoff game. That's a huge deal, and to me, the great move by Girardi wasn't pinch hitting Alex Rodriguez. The great move was setting this up at, you know, 1 o'clock when he does his lineup. You will not convince me that when Girardi set up his lineup, he didn't have this planned out. that I'm going to DH A-Rod. I'm going to hit him third, see if he can get something going. But if he can't, then come inning 7, 8, 9, when we're into the bullpen, theoretically, and we're in a big spot, I can go to Ibanez.
Right, and bring Jim Johnson's up on the mound, because you know that Jim Johnson's going
to
be on the mound.
So I can bring in Ibanez and just replace him as the DH and not have to lose my third baseman or move some things around and end up losing my DH. I think the genius of that move by Joe Girardi happened 6 hours before the game started.
Now, the question I think that this raises is you had the elephant in the room of what would happen to A-Rod's ego if you moved him out of the third spot. Now, I think for the Yankees to win the World Series, ultimately,
you need A-Rod.
You need A-Rod to start hitting at some point here. But now you've kind of shattered the glass of A-Rod's ego, and he took the hit, and he took it well, and he appears to understand he's not getting the job done. Do you think now it's easier for Girardi to go say, listen, A-Rod, we need you to keep working in the cage. You got to get it going. We're going to move you down to 7th or 8th so you see some better pitches.
I think it absolutely is easier for Girardi to do it. If I'm Girardi, I'm not doing it tonight. You got a lefty on the mound in Saunders. A-Rod can't hit righties right now.
No.
Give him a shot against the lefty. Put him back in the 3 with Cano behind him. He'll see fastballs. Look, if he can't hit a fastball off a lefty in Yankee Stadium, what can you do?
Then he's somewhat hopeless.
Then you have to look at moving him down. But right now, I mean, you're not playing Ibanez tonight. I mean, Ibanez on the season was 197 with no home runs against lefty. Now, he hit a home run against the lefty last night. That was the homer that won the game.
Okay, but here's...
But you're not putting Ibanez in tonight, in my opinion. I think you found an equation that works a little bit with Ibanez coming off the bench as a DH. Don't change the equation when you've got it working,
in my opinion. It's almost... like he has a window right now because he is facing a lefty. And if Alex Rodriguez, I root for Alex Rodriguez personally as a non-biased, non-Yankee fan. If Alex Rodriguez, lines one up today and he delivers against a lefty, he gets a fastball, he hits it. Okay, now, and the Yankees do move on or they move into a game 5. Now you're looking at, okay, well, A-Rod's hot. You got to leave him in the 3-hole. And then he drops another O for you.
Well,
you lose. You don't get to Detroit
or
Oakland.
I think that what last night showed you is that A-Rod can be moved. I think that's what it showed you. And now I think you try and get A-Rod going because, to your point, the Yankees. If anyone thinks that the Yankees are going to win the World Series with Alex Rodriguez hitting 097, you're out of your mind. They're going to need Alex Rodriguez. You do whatever you can to get him.
All
going,
I'm saying is, if you look at the lineup right now. If you go and you put A-Rod in the 3rd hole and he goes 0-for-3 or 0-for-4 again, even against a lefty, then you're saying, well, then you wasted your time and you're looking at a game 5 situation.
Right.
And if he goes in there and he does deliver, now you're saying, well, all right, he's starting to hit the ball. I don't want to mess with his mojo. We're keeping him in the 3rd hole again. So if you're gonna make that move, I think you have to strike while the iron is hot and make the move right now. I would move. Probably, I would personally move Robbie Cano into the 3-hole, move Teixeira into the 4-hole, move Granderson into the 5-hole, bat A-Rod 6th.
I think that makes sense as much as anything else you're going to find. To me, tonight, lefty, Cano, fastball, I think you give A-Rod a shot. You got to get him going. I think you get him going tonight. We're going to take a step. We'll come back. We'll talk about the impact of last night's game on the O's, get into a little bit more of this series, maybe touch on all the other great action in the MLB. Hey, it's working out for the Nationals. They don't need Steven Strasburg, right?
Wah, wah.
We'll get to that after this. It's Cover 2.